Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Reverse Cowboy.
What are you making at the moment?
I just made a film actually. Exec produced my first film.
Oh, nice!
And it's called Some Otherhood. It's with Adam Deacon. I don't know if you saw Otherhood, a film he made about 10 years ago.
Yeah. Did they do? Was Kid Otherhood the first one?
Yes, it was Kid Otherhood, Adulthood.
Yeah. My mate Jamie was in Kid Otherhood, I think.
Jamie
Winston.
Winston. She's in our film.
Oh, is she right? Well. Yeah. Oh, I'm good mates with her sister Lois.
I've met her.
Yeah.
So I know Jamie through her, but yeah.
Well, we've got in this film. I had to go and meet him in a hemp shop. He started talking about Boris Johnson and Peppa Pig World because
what happened at Peppa Pig World? Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson came out and was supposed to do a speech, and then he started going off piste saying he lost his seat.
Does anybody? I can't. Everybody must go to Peppa Pig World. And all the journalists are just sitting there looking. It's marvellous.
Boris Johnson's a fucking comedy genius. You've got to give him that. And Donald Trump.
Donald Trump's the best comedian I've ever seen in my life.
Shame
he has the power to ruin people's lives. And same with Boris.
That was the thing with Trump and with Boris was that, you know, they did provide massive comedy sort of, you know, because they just shook everything up so much. And for a comedian, you kind of miss those politicians. But the problem with that is that, as you say, they've got too much power. They should just be on the comedy circuit somewhere, knocking around doing sort of 5 minutes at Kingston or something. You know?
Yeah, he shouldn't have the nuclear code, should he?
I agree. But then again, neither should an 82-year-old man, and neither should.
I don't think anyone should have the codes.
No, I don't
personally think
an 82-year-old man really should.
I want them.
Let's be honest. What job is suitable for an 80-year-old? I'm not being horrible. It's a fact. Your brain's gone at that point.
Are we talking about Biden? Is he 80?
He's fucked, a cracker. He comes out with some beauties. You're talking about rambling, but he's not doing it. Boris Johnson's doing that. He's calculated. He's so clever.
Oh, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. The comedy shit. But like you said, you shouldn't win elections on the back of being a good comedian. But Donald Trump's mastery of the insult, loser, is fucking amazing.
Talking of famous leaders, Hitler's alligator just died.
Fuck me.
Yeah. Wow.
He had this
old alligator.
He was 84 and he was a Nazi alligator. And he was called Heinz. And he's been living in a Moscow zoo. And he's just died. So, you know, shout out to Heinz.
Natural causes, yeah?
Yeah, but Hitler, what a mad cunt. As
cyanide had pill, apparently.
Yeah.
He did that with Blondie, didn't he? When Hitler was in the bunker, supposedly, his favourite thing was his dog Blondie, wasn't it? And he was like, Blondie, it is time. We have to go. And he gave his dog a cyanide pill to make sure they work. And he was like, Blondie!
He killed the dog as well.
Yeah, killed his dog.
Spiteful.
Yeah. I know, he could have just let the dog out. Someone would have looked after it.
Sure.
Always ends up in a bunker, in a ditch, or under like a sewage pipe.
That's like where I live, isn't it?
Well, you live underground.
I do, yeah. He always says I live underground.
I'll tell you, one of the best, if anyone's ever seen it, I love a bit of trash TV, yeah? You ever seen Doomsday Preppers?
No,
this is a
good.
Sensational show. It's about preppers. You know what a prepper is?
Yeah, I think it's coming.
Yeah, for all different reasons. One reckons it's going to be a nuclear winter. One reckons it's going to be societal collapse, whatever. They've all built these bunkers. Oh, they just let the people be their own little superstars, showing them around their bunkers, the way they've hidden their food and maximise the space. Get on it. Doomsday preppers.
I'm kind of like a shit oldie doomsday prepper myself because I live in a field, a bit like off-grid.
I want to be a prepper.
I've not got any weapons stored up yet or anything, but I might do, yeah.
Well, you live in a field.
Yeah.
When you say off-grid, whereabouts?
Well, I can't tell you. I can tell you off air.
It wouldn't be a secret.
Yeah,
anymore,
but it's near Epping Forest.
I do think about it quite a lot. I think what I'd like to get a big gaff and then just like starts as like I want to put a nightclub in my garden underground.
Yeah.
So no one can ever
hear. That's a completely normal thing to do.
That is a perfectly normal thing to
do. So go on. You've just finished a film.
Yeah, it's called Some Otherhood. We just had a few offers come through from distributors. So
nice.
When you make a film, you've got to hope that a distributor buys your film, otherwise nobody will ever see it.
Yeah.
And
is it good though?
It is good. It is good. Thank God.
Yeah.
And so we've had an offer from a big distributor now. So
fucking
it'll
yes.
be in the cinemas.
Congratulations.
Cheers.
Are you acting in it as well, or just making it?
I stepped in for Jamie Oliver. He couldn't do it. He said he I stepped in and played his part, and it was in the bank heist. It's a mental movie. There's so many people. It's basically anyone who I've ever met in my life yeah. is in this film. And if it isn't any good, no one will ever answer the phone to me ever again.
When's it at? Soon.
Yeah, we're looking at maybe April. Easter holidays.
It's all done, like edited and
yes, done.
Oh mate, all that's done. Exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because we started as just like it was me and my two mates. I've got two friends from Romford, and they're in the property industry, and they just come up to me and said, "We want to make a movie." And I said, "You're mental."
Yeah.
I said, "You're better off digging a hole in the garden and chucking £1 million in there and setting fire to it. They probably get a better return." And this was in lockdown,
right.
So they just kept coming to me more and more. And in the end, I just said, "All right, let's do it."
People that have got to get rid of it for tax, though, aren't they? You've got to spend it on something good.
Well,
Tony Soprano, and he did it.
I think my mates were just bored, and yeah. they just wanted to do
that's
something
great.
Other than you know properties and stuff. So, yeah, they fancied doing film, and they were very lucky that we managed to make something that people actually like.
Was you involved in Kid Adulthood and the other one?
No. That meant that,
so how does that work, like jumping onto that?
Well, Kid Adulthood, those movies were a different franchise altogether. They took themselves very seriously. Another Hood, which is the spoof version of those.
Is
of
that what
genre.
This is?
This is a comedy.
Ah, right. Yeah.
So we just made a comedy of that genre, basically.
Adam Deacon was involved in the first one, and then didn't he get screwed over by the industry or something?
He got screwed over by the industry
and by that guy.
And Adam sort of had a very public battle with his mental health.
Right.
Struggled quite a lot with that. And he's just been incredible the last wow. couple of years. You know, he's written, starred and directed in this film. So
he's come back.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah. I mean,
good for him.
He's on top form.
Tell him to check his messages from me.
Yeah.
Because I'll remember.
Oh, no.
Guy.
Not
you know, when you, yeah. when you find
dick
out someone ain't doing too well?
Yeah.
I'll send him a message.
Fuck off.
I'll do. Yeah. Put rest in peace up. I can't help like fucking retweet it and that. You know, I don't even know the guy, but yeah. I feel like if I don't, it's all karma shit.
Yeah, of course. That was the best thing about it, because it was like Adam was like working in a call centre and he'd won a BAFTA. This isn't right. This kid's seriously talented. And the best thing for us was putting him back on the map, really.
Yeah, man. You've done something wonderful there together, and hopefully the film will be very successful.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the cinema and watch it. I've not been to the cinema for about 5 years, but I'm going to go and support this film.
Well, we hope everyone does. I mean, it's been a weird one because after COVID, like, everyone's got a home cinema in their house now, haven't they?
Is this cinema release before anything else?
Yeah, so we'll do a cinema release, and then I don't know what'll happen. Maybe it'll go on to Sky, and then God knows where else, wherever else they watch stuff these days.
So it's the traditional kind of way you release film, right? Gotcha.
Yeah. And then it'll probably end up on, I don't know, Al Jazeera in 4 years' time or something.
Pornhub.
I don't really know Jamie Winston either.
All right.
Fucking felt left out.
It's all right.
So I did meet her at a rave once many years ago, but come on, man, I don't qualify.
Well,
she still speaks very highly of you.
Yeah. Once I was, funny story, I was at Ray's house with Lois because she's a good mate of mine. She was like, come around like one night, they're having a party. Mm. And we went around, and I don't know if you've been there, but in Ray's garden, he's got his own bar, like in an outbuilding called Ray's Bar. Yeah, and there's like a big neon sign because he'd always wanted a bar. And it's like exactly how you imagine it. There's a little stage with a karaoke set up. There's a bar, you know, and His rule is his rule is no one is allowed behind the bar but Ray. It's Ray's bar, right? So yeah. He's like, and he was in there serving us drinks, like, it, you know, it's like that's what he wants to do secretly. And he's always been really nice and pleasant with me. And then he went to bed, and we were all like just fucking around in there, getting drunk and all the rest.
Oh, he's
and
not
then,
down
no, mate, and then Lois, my mate, goes to me, Sam, nip behind the bar and get like make a couple of gin tonics. I was like, no, Ray said don't. He said no one's allowed behind the bar. You know, he said you can make the drinks here, but don't go behind the bar. And she was like, oh, he's fine, just do it. I was like, I don't want to. Like, and she's like, Sam, just go behind. I was like, oh, fuck it. So I go behind the bar, making some gin and tonics. All of a sudden, the barn doors bash open, Ray's in his fucking dressing gown, looks in, and he stops what he's saying, then telling us to turn down. And went, get out from behind my fucking bar. And I was like, ooh, like properly nearly shat in my pants because he's a terrifying man. And I just came out, I was like, Ray, Lois said it was fine. And Lois was like, I told him to. And he's like, I told you, no, I'm behind my fucking bar.
Genuine anger.
Yeah, proper. And I was like, wow. I thought, oh God, I'm going to soil my trousers.
What you should have done, you should have let him go back to bed, let him go to sleep, and then half hour later woke him up, sit on the end of his bed, let him cool down, half hour later woke him up and then apologise.
Yeah.
That's the properly way to do
woke
it.
Woke him up to tell him you were going to sleep.
Yeah, that's
well, we were, I mean, it's a long time ago, we were all like up on, like, I don't know if we were doing pills or something, but we were fucked up. So then we only got to bed at like 6 in the morning. And then it was a Sunday. There was like a few of us staying there. Oh, in Lois's room, just sprawled around the floor.
Who's Lois?
Lois's daughter, yeah. And you got three. But yeah, and then he barges in the door again and he's like, get up, you fucking. He's like Elaine is what? He's like, she's been in the fucking kitchen all day slaving to make this roast. Yeah, get up and you fucking eat it. I had like 14 minutes sleep and I was like on a come down, like, oh. You know, like, can't eat a fucking thing. Like trying to tuck into this roast that Elaine had made us. Like, and I'm like, oh God. But you don't want to upset him, do you?
I remember the first time I met Raimondo was.
Can I just say, I know I'm stoned, right? Every time you're talking about, you're doing that impression, like, I'm picturing Ant Middleton off SAS.
All right. So I've probably got a bad impression of him.
Like every time he bursts in the doors, I'm picturing that little fucking Ant Middleton. Anyway,
Ant Middleton. And so first I met Raimondo, I was about 18, I think.
Right.
I've known the family a long time.
Yeah.
And we were at a wedding and I was at the bar and I'd been drinking all day and so had Raimondo. And I turned around and I said, Dad, can you lend me a score because I'll get some drinks? And Ray went, that's all right, son, I'll give you a score. And I went, oh, no, it's all right, it's okay. And he went, there you go, boy. There you go, I have a score there. And he started pushing his score in my hand. I went, no. And he's just like,
you can owe something.
I didn't want to accept it because I thought it's a score, and that's in like 1998.
Yeah,
like
a lot of money.
A fucking score was a score, you know. Yeah. And so I was like, no. And then he went, oh, all right. He went, I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't mean to insult you. And then it turned into a little bit of like, I'd upset him by rejecting the score.
My money's not good enough for you, is it, Kevin?
No problem with that then. I'm going to take the score, dude. And I never forgot it. And
terrifying man.
Terrifying man, yeah. But
again,
but,
the mistake you made is not letting him die that and half hour later going back to his score.
That's what I should have done, yeah.
It's always the half hour.
You know what? If I see him again, I might go, Ray, have you got that score?
No, it's too late.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's a real character and got loads of good banter.
He's a nice bloke, he is. You just don't want to go behind his bar.
Oh, you wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of him.
Tell me, baby, have you been vabbing? I can't keep my eyes off you.
I made a film with Mini-Me, you know, Vern Troyer, his name is.
Yeah.
I made a Keith
Rest Lemon, in peace.
Rest in peace, yeah. And it was, and I made a film with him. It was a Keith Lemon film.
Is he nice?
He was lovely, but so Keith Lemon, Lee Francis, he says to me, he comes to my apartment one night, he goes, yo, Thor, I got, that Vern Troyer, who's like Mini-Me. No, he's in films, good mate of mine, so
yeah.
He wants to have a drink with us later on, so do you want to come for a drink with us, with me and Vern? And we're in Belfast, so we're going for a drink in bars, and Vern wants to meet you. So I get down there, and Vern's standing on a table. He's standing on a table. Now, he is the height of two Coke cans, or like two of those. So he's like that, I'm not kidding. And I got in there, and I came up and went, oh, hi, Vern, how you
it's
doing?
So small.
I put my finger like that. He went, hello, man. I was like, hi, Vern. He went, hey, man, you want to get some pussy? And I was like, what? And he went, where can I get some fucking pussy, man? I want to get some pussy on this place. So I was like, well, look, I mean, I wouldn't keep saying pussy, because it's a bit of a sort of, you know, in America, you probably get away with it, but here, you definitely won't get any pussy if you keep saying pussy like that. Yeah. Hey, man, I just want to get some fucking pussy on this place. And I want to, we're in Belfast, where's the fucking nightclub, man? I want to go and get some pussy. And I was like, all right, shh, stop saying pussy, right? And so they got him a bottle of Heineken. They got him a bottle of Heineken.
As big,
right,
as him.
And he was literally like me and you, like drinking a keg.
Yeah.
It was like that. And he was going. So like one Heineken, he was mangled, absolutely mangled. And he had a mobility scooter that was like tailored to him, yeah, right? So he's on this mobility scooter and he's like, come on, man, let's fucking get out of here. Let's go to the fucking nightclub, man. We got some pussy, motherfucker. Like that. So I'm like, come on then. And Lee's like, no, so we're going to take Burnt to the nightclub. Someone's going to get some pussy or something. So me, you, Kelly Brook, we'll all go to the nightclub and get some pussy for Vern. And so we go into the nightclub. And I don't know, I was so drunk. It was in my drinking days. And yeah. I was so pissed. And I picked Vern up. Because he's so tiny, and I threw him up in the air like that. Like you would your niece,
yeah, yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
And I just kept throwing him up in the air like that. And all I could hear was the music was really loud, and he just going, throwing him up in the air, And then I thought he's trying to tell me something. And then I was like, you're right, Vern, what's the matter? And he went, put me down, you motherfucker! And I went, what? And he went, you keep throwing me up in the air and I'm not a fucking baby! And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And I put him on a speaker and I went, what's the matter? What's wrong? He went, you threw me in the air, man, like I'm a fucking baby. I'm not gonna get any pussy like this, man. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you'd like it. And he went, why the fuck would I like that, man? I was like, I'm so sorry. So
did he not get any pussy?
He did. You know what? He did.
Of course he did.
Yeah. He did. He walked out there that evening with loads of girls.
Rolled out there.
Yeah.
Stories I've ever heard.
Yeah, mate, that's incredible.
Yeah, he was, but he was a lovely guy. And yeah, I remember he had a Canadian carer who was this massive Canadian guy. And the last I saw of Vern was he was drunk. He was being carried out of this nightclub. And he, you know when you get a builder's bum?
Yeah.
Like he had a little builder's bum, which is this little tiny baby's bum. Just
it's so
little
cute.
Tiny baby builder's bum.
Honestly, mate.
That's the last thing I saw as he went out of the nightclub.
I've seen his sex tape.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've not seen that.
You don't want to if you know him, but it's like a baby fucking a really hot woman. It's dark as fuck.
That's what mine would be like if I were Well, he was a lovely man. And I was very sad to hear he'd passed because... he was a good laugh, you know, he was, and he was pretty rock and roll.
Well, little guys, like, you know, not just like that small, but like Warwick Davis style little guys. I don't know what the PC term is for them, but they...
Dwarfs.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I said midget in front of Vernon. He went ape shit. Yeah. He went, hey, man, did you just drop the M-word? And I was like, what's the matter?
The
matter? He went, dude, you just said the M-word. And I was like... Dude, you just said midget, and that is some fucking slang terminology, man. That is really, really offensive. And I went, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Did he call it the M-word?
Yeah, because at the time, I mean, this is a long time ago, I didn't know that it was actually an offensive term.
Yeah, well, but, I thought dwarf would be, because it's like a mythical creature, a dwarf.
No, a dwarf isn't. No, right. a tree sprite. You mustn't call them tree sprites. Yeah. And,
goblins.
Or elves, goblins. Or goblins, or trolls.
I was in Soho once. Do you know that
I call them midgets all the time.
Well, you start the M-word, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yep. I was in Soho once, and we were in that like dirty, smelly rock bar called Crowbar that's no longer there. Yeah. And then my mate got kicked out because he was like doing coke in the toilet or something. And then it was summer, so we stood outside in this alleyway. My mate was lying on the floor because he was so fucked, and I was just chatting to my other mates. We were like high and being dicks. And anyway, and this M-word guy comes around the corner on like a little girl's bike, right? Because he's like, it was the right size for him. He comes down and he was like, you know, I was in Star Wars. I was in fucking Willow. Been in them all. Like,
what, that was him?
He was a background guy in them because they gather a load of them up, don't they? And then they get them running around.
Yeah. A lot of them have got a bit of film experience.
Yeah,
it's a valid job for them.
Supporting artist, supporting dwarf.
Yeah, he was one of them, like running around in the background and like looking for
his dad. Was he an Ewok and stuff?
Yeah, I think he was. He's on this little girl's BMX and he's doing circles like this, like slowly, like cocky, showing off, going like, I was in fucking Star Wars. I was in it. I said, oh, you... I said, you know, like, you're small, mate. And he's like, yeah. And I said, is your dick small? You know, like, what happens there? And he's like, no, it's fucking massive. And I was like, all right, so, should we all get our dicks out then? So we said, yeah, we all got our dicks out. His was miles bigger than everyone's. Yeah, fuck, honestly, it was enormous. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, fucking told you. I was like, well done, man. I was scared of him when I was a kid because I thought they could do spells and stuff.
Well, there must be a limit. There's a certain height, isn't there? Under a certain limit, you classify on paper as a dwarf, right?
Yeah.
Shit, this should.
Fuck imagine being
out on towers.
But imagine being on the cusp. Yeah, not quite a dwarf, but not quite. That'd be the worst, wouldn't it? Because at least if you were small, you could go. You were a dwarf. You could go. Fuck it, I'm a dwarf. But if you were just a really small bloke, my best pal was really small, and. He says, it makes me laugh when people talk about racism and all this stuff. He says, and you can't say this, you can't say that. He said, but no one gives a shit about small people. Mm. He said, it's the one that you can just say whatever you want. And gingers.
There's like a movement online, isn't there, of women who are going like, now I'm going to go out with a short guy because like he's going to look after me.
No, that's the hardest one. If you're a tall bird, like a big, you know, a tall
5'10" job.
No, way taller. Yeah. No, like them really bigger tall. You know, like being a big lurching kind of woman coming under doors.
Well, I quite like tall women, but it's I've just started dating, so I'm like on the dating apps, and I noticed some of them just say, "Don't date me if you're under 6 foot," and I'm like, great then. But I always find that tall blokes have got less charisma than short blokes because you've got to work hard.
Yeah,
you've got to work harder in life. Tall people just comes too easy to them.
That's why
Vern Troyer
was such a fucking blast.
That's why he was a legend.
He was such a legend. At the extreme end of being a laugh. Wow.
And that's why I got so much pussy, man.
Over the years, I've spent over £1 billion on drugs.
You've been like in the public eye since you were a kid. You were a child actor, weren't you?
Yeah.
You know, when all the hashtag MeToo stuff was coming out, were you not tempted to out Kermit the Frog for what he did to you on Treasure Island?
Well, it was consensual. It wasn't really a problem. But
are you still in touch?
Miss Piggy, I never said yes to her. She's probably more of a sexual predator, I'd say, than Kermit.
Did you get a payoff from the Henson Corporation? Did you get a big payoff for the fingering?
No, not really. It was Disney now.
Is it?
So, yeah, Disney refused.
You should go for him, mate.
Refused to pay out.
You can go for historical sex crimes.
Could do.
If you get skin, just go for it.
I was very lucky, actually. As a child, considering I was a child actor, I didn't get molested or anything, which basically made me sort of feel a bit insecure. I was
like, ugly.
Because to a paedophile, I was an 11. I mean, I was blonde hair.
You were a cute little boy.
To a nonce, I was a salt.
If I was a nonce, I would have fingered you right up.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I've seen you as a kid. You were cute.
It's almost a miracle that nothing happened to me, you know, during those years.
Did you go to Hollywood to make that?
No, we went to Shepperton Studios and it was all done inside a studio with a green screen.
Yeah, maybe the nonces haven't settled in Shepperton yet.
Well, I don't know what it was. I think it was because I was too talkative, chatty. I think I might
they want you to be silent.
I might spilled the beans, you know. They like the quiet ones.
Was it fun working with Billy Connolly?
Amazing. I mean, like, on the first day, so he dies in, like, page 12 or something.
Right.
And I remember he turned up on set and I could actually quote his stand-up material word for word.
Oh, that's amazing.
And that's exactly what I would do when I sat with him, and he never once told me to fuck off.
Yeah, but he was well annoyed.
But it must have annoyed him. I mean, I would have found me as a sort of 14-year-old quite overbearing. And he was just lovely, like, the whole time.
Yeah.
And
there, Kevin!
But the thing with Billy Connolly is everything's got a sense of wonder about it. When he talks to me, he's like, look at that. I mean, somebody made that with their mind. Look at that. God, beauty. How great is that? Everything he found was like, wow, look at this, Matt. Wow. Kermit the Frog. Everything was like with a sense of wonder.
I wish I could see the world like that.
Can you kind of mimic anyone's voice?
If I'm around them for a bit of time, I never practice people's voices.
You're very good at it.
I never. But what I'll do is they'll say the only person I ever actually practiced was Nigel Farage when the BBC said, "Right, you're playing Farage."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Well, he's not someone I'm particularly sort of interested in. I haven't picked up his voice." I said, well, you better learn it because you're playing him.
How do you do that? Just listening.
You played him when he was younger?
No, I played Farage when he was like now. So it was called Farage Gets His Life Back. It was on BBC Two. And it
you
was
had loads of like prosthetics on, didn't you?
Yeah, loads of prosthetics. Yeah. And And I just couldn't get the voice, because with me, when I get the voice, it's a physicality. So like, it's not actually the voice. It's the physicality.
Do you change your face?
Yeah.
Because when I do them, like if I do different voices, right? Just, and I'm not even, to be honest, I'm doing a different. I'm not really impersonating them. I'm just finding a voice that's somewhere near it, and then telling a little stupid story.
Yeah.
So I'm not really doing it.
Well, I think what you do, as I've watched your stuff, like you capture the essence of the person, which is actually harder to do, I think, than a lot of them. Because sometimes you'll listen to people and you go, yeah, that sounds like them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's not that impressive. But when you actually get inside the nut of the person, and then you start to actually say the sort of shit that person would say, even if it's a grotesque version of what they would say, I think that's more impressive. But with Farage, was like, I remember watching like footage of Farage, and I just couldn't get this voice. And then I watched him resign from UKIP, and he comes up to the microphone. I noticed with his head, you obviously won't see this because it's not a visual medium, but like, he stands there on the microphone, he goes, right, I'm, as from today, will be leaving UKIP party. Thank you very much. Goodbye. To have this not with a head like that all the time. So that's how he pronounces words, like that, with a purr.
It's very much that's perfect.
And so I was thinking, how do we get that voice to be?
Yeah, I'll say you have got it.
And so but it was a physicality.
So you have to do that head movement to actually get it out, enunciate it.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be like that all the time, but I mean, yeah, it does help.
It's the purr for me.
But he's got that kind of, and it was, and people that are sort of near, because he lives in Down or something, which isn't very far from where I grew up. So it's kind of, I find those harder to do sometimes if they're nearer my own voice. They're better if they've got a big sort of hook on them. But
can you do like a northern voice? Can you do
I mean, I can do.
Can you do like Liam Gallagher or something?
Yeah, do Liam. I mean, I was out with Paddy McGuinness the other night, and he's a good mate of mine. He basically, so you know, with Paddy, he go, no, hold on now, hold on one moment right now, what are you talking about? Like that's Paddy. I mean, I remember I took Paddy for a drink once. We went to the Wolsey, and I said, we'll just go and have some drinks in the Wolsey. He went, barman, I want 4 black Sambucas and I want a lighter because I'm going to light them. The Wolsey, which is on, like, you know, my Green Park station.
It's beautiful, like,
yeah, and I stay with a good mate of mine, Steve Coogan. I stay with him at the moment.
Heard of him?
obviously, everyone knows him for Alan Partridge. But not many people sort of know what his actual voice is, but he's from Manchester.
Yeah.
And so Steve would kind
of
go,
North Manchester, isn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, Steve would be like, so basically, do you like coffee? I've got loads of coffee. Help yourself. But just come and hang out at the house. You know, you're more than welcome. Drive the cars. Don't drive the Alfa Romeo. You need special insurance for that. But you're more than welcome to use all the
cars. I want to be a friend. Fine.
Yeah, no, he's a lovely man. He's great fun.
And then, hold on, is there a way you can insure your car so anyone can drive it?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. But I mean, Steve's got lovely Kleenex old classic cars, right, as well as like new ones.
Oh, do you ever borrow the cars?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes it lets me use it. And Steve likes to drive quite fast, so I prefer it when I'm driving. But
I mean, yeah, love him.
I discovered the other day that I could do an impression of Warwick Davis.
Right,
but again, it was a physicality. And,
did you have to get down? And
I'll show you. I'll show you. Right, so like it goes to get it right.
And so you come into hi, welcome to
Antelope. You've got to see the way he's walking. You've got to see his legs.
It's all very much like that. It says, which famous Roman emperor was well known for making love to his horses? Was it A, Caligula, or was it B, Nero? Well done. You're through to the next round.
But again, it's a physicality, you know. Like once you embody that thing, then it suddenly becomes. I mean, I don't know if I'd ever get away with that.
I just filmed it, but I won't post it anywhere unless you don't want me to. So, have you ever killed anyone, Kev?
Yeah, a couple. This morning, I did.
Yeah, yeah. Never killed anyone.
And which
pussy.
Is. I've never killed anyone, and I knew someone once who had accidentally killed someone.
That's interesting.
Someone had said something to his wife. This is the long time ago, and he punched him, and the guy fell over a wall,
whacked his head,
and fell 40 foot to his death.
Right.
So it went from being a sort of chivalrous kind of "don't speak to my wife like that, you scoundrel," to sort of like, "I've killed a man."
Oh, fuck. How did he cope with that?
I don't think he talked about it very much and just sort of buried it like lots of people did in the old days.
Yeah.
But, did he go to prison?
I
don't know, you know. I don't think he did. I think it was like...
It was clearly
he didn't mean to kill someone, but...
But still, I think if you punch someone and then they whack their head on the floor and they die, I think you get manslaughter charges.
That happens a lot now.
The charge should be a punch. It's not my fucking fault where your head bounced up when I punched you.
But you made his head fall on the floor.
Sometimes you've got to chin someone.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
Yeah.
Sometimes some people need a punch.
That's such a working class thing, that. It's true. I had no choice. But it's true. It's like if you come...
people hide behind the fact that you can't chin them.
But I remember once I'd been in a members club in Soho, and then it kicked out about 3 o'clock, and then we're doing that thing where you're trying to find a late drink, and there was a bar called Jerry's Bar.
Right.
I don't know if it's open anymore. It was on Dean Street. And I got down into Jerry's Bar, and there was some bad sort of singing going on.
Yeah.
And I was with a couple of
girls.
Probably
me.
It might have been.
Yeah.
And I was with a couple of girls, and I was standing there, and I suddenly, the singing was so bad that I was being a bit flippant, and I was laughing at it. Mm. And this bloke, he was done up, he was old, like he was properly old. He was like 70 plus, right? Mm. And he went, "Do you mind?" He went, "Can you keep your voice down, please? I'm trying to hear a young lady sing." And I went, "You what, mate?" And he went, "I said, can you keep your voice down? I'm trying to hear the young lady sing. So just keep it down, will you?" And I went, "All right, mate." And I was just being leery.
Yeah.
I was old. And he turned round and he just gave me a dry slap.
Fucking hell.
A dry slap.
That's like Reggie Gray or something.
I was a 28-year-old man and he just went bang.
Oh, that's a silencer.
And it completely sobered me up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I was... I don't know what it was. It was an instant respect.
I asked you kindly.
And no one got hurt. No one got hospitalised.
Yeah.
No one was spiteful.
You
he gave me a
place.
Dry slap. And you know what? I just went, right, I'm going home. Good night, everyone. That's me over. And I actually went home. And I thought, I wish he was around all the time.
Yeah.
When I get to that point where I'm just in free fall chimpanzee.
Just being annoying.
Just a dry slap. Off you go, and do you know what? I never forgot that. The front that guy had to give a 70-plus-year-old man to give a 28-year-old. He wasn't a big guy either.
He's probably an old school gangster or something.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that was it. I mean, it was like, when he slapped me, I felt you know, all the murders that he committed in that one slap. You know,
his big hands.
I need that guy now and again.
Yeah. I think everyone does. I think everyone does.
Do you know what I'm gonna do when we leave here as a favour? Yeah, slap someone out.
Just go and find a nuisance.
At some point in your life, you needed that. So it's a backdated slap. I've done you a favour.
Hello, it's Wayne and the Crew. You're listening to Reverse Cowboy.
I'm rubbish at fighting, but I used to always get in fights, but I would never fight back. I just wind people up. It's like winding people up like in my 20s.
That is basically why I don't drink anymore. I know I don't. It wasn't because I couldn't stop drinking. It was because someone is going to kill me. That's how I turned into a little cunt. Yeah, but no, it was just because I just annoyed everyone. I mean, I just found that I attracted lunatics when I was drunk.
Yeah.
And so I just said, you just need to keep your wits about you more. Mm. And that was why I stopped. And because I just felt like it wasn't I was going to sort of, you know, drink myself to death or something, or end up on a park bench. It was that someone somewhere is going to kill me because I'm so annoying when I'm drunk. You know, that was how it was going for me. So like,
that's why you stopped.
And that's why I stopped. And I find now that it just doesn't happen anymore. It just literally doesn't happen.
When you first quit, when you're going out socialising and stuff, because I have to have a drink to be asked to talk to some people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how did you get around that? Like, do you still go out to the pub? Do you still?
Yeah, of course. My mates were my good mates who said to me, you're 3 pints in anyway as a person.
Yeah.
You know, so if I've got 3 energy, pints, I've had 6.
Yeah.
You know, so I would just go, right, well, I'm 3 pints in. And I think it's like, you just tell yourself, I stopped drinking because I wanted to improve my social life.
Yeah.
I didn't want to sit there being you know, no one wants a witness at the end of the day.
No.
You know, because that's the problem you find with a lot of your mates is that you start going out and they're like, well, he doesn't drink anymore, so don't invite him to this, don't invite him to that.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't want to sit there and be a witness. So I just thought, right, I'm just going to throw myself in and I'm just going to go for it and I'm not going to, you know, we'll see how that goes.
And it's still fun.
Still fun for me. I mean,
what do you mean by a witness?
Well, if you're sober, you're a witness. You know, to everyone else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So okay. if you're sitting there and you're sober and everyone's mashed, then people become paranoid that you're not drinking. And I find that a lot with going out on dates and stuff. And then you say, actually, I'm all right. I don't drink. And they're like, we don't drink. And they can see the panic.
Because they think they can't drink then.
Oh. Yeah, but I like drunks. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I mean,
good job you're here.
Yeah, a woman told me the same story six times the other night on a night out, literally within 6 minutes. And I don't, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. I actually like drinkers. I like people getting drunk. I find that, you know, I prefer those people than to someone who said, I've just never really liked the taste. Oh. And I've got no affinity with those people at all. So I do like drinkers and drug addicts and whatever. I think
you're
like
in the right place, mate.
I mean, I see like alcohol, is a sort of a beginner's drug. I mean, there's much better buzzes now available to everyone else, you know, and like you can literally get whatever drug you want.
How long have you been clean from the devil?
I've not drank for 4 years. And and for me, it was just like, I just preferred not drinking. Yeah. All the work got done, all my relationships with all my pals and everything just improved. So I was like, that's it. I'm just parking the drink up. I never drank at home. I never woke up and had a drink or anything like that. But if I met a pal in the street and he said, do you want to go for a pint? I'd go on the missing list. No, like that's how it used to work with me. And I used to do that thing where I go, right, come on, 3 pints.
It's impossible.
Could never do it. No. I could never achieve it. And I lived in Brighton as well. I lived in Brighton for about 16 years. I could never get that last
Next
train.
Minute you're sucking a cock.
And it's only 7:30. Yeah. And I am not even off the train yet. There's so many other things that are available to people, and people just do drink as the one they kind of like go, that's the one everyone does. It's the legal one.
You just get sucked into it. Yeah. I don't even want to fucking drink, but before you know it, you're drinking.
It's mad that one, just because 500 years ago someone said that one's all right. It's like that we go, all right, that one. Reverse.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cowboy. But I've been microdosing magic mushrooms, and I'm going to carry on doing that. That's like a nice little buzz. It has zero negative effects on your body. It's lovely.
I've tried mushrooms, and I just thought, what's the negative thing here? I mean, there's like, nothing, they're amazing. Yeah.
Unless you eat millions of them, and then you're like, you see the devil.
The best feeling in the world, better than anything for me, is when you can't stop laughing and your ribs are hurting.
Yeah.
And you had me, that was when he was doing the Vern Troyer shit, chucking him in the air and that.
Yeah.
That is the best feeling in the world. Mushrooms is, for me, the only drug I've ever tried that...
does that.
So... absolutely, what the it's fuck the best is drug. Wrong with them?
But mushrooms will push you to whatever you need. So if you're tired, it'll make you tired. If you're happy, it'll make you happy. So it'll push you to that place wherever you need to go. I've got a friend who's a Western doctor, and he's now no longer a Western doctor. He's a shaman now, and he's doing these ceremonies. And he said, I used to love taking mushrooms, but I can't actually do them anymore because they make me so melancholy. So they put you into a trauma state, whether that be in childhood or whatever. You're sat in that place. So... I had a great childhood, so it's kind of like, it doesn't really make...
Apart from the fingering, Kermit,
but I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that, you know, so, you know...
Got lovely fingers.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some people were adverse to it, and I enjoyed it.
If I'd got to Michael Jackson's Neverland, and I was so obsessed with Jackson when I was a kid, he was like God to me, I would have been like, do whatever you want to my arsehole, Michael. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I fucking love you.
Well, it's like, well, Macaulay Culkin is the same age as me, and, well, I was in Mother Treasure Island, and I was a child at start, and so was Macaulay Culkin, and when I saw that Macaulay Culkin was hanging out at the Neverland Ranch, I was thinking, well,
where's
what's
my
wrong
invitation?
With me? What's wrong with me?
Yeah, we covered this earlier.
I wonder if Jackson looked at that film, looked at Treasure Island, and went,
no, I don't think I want him.
Yeah,
he's going to talk. He's a talker.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got those British teeth. They look weak.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah, that's why he went for Culkin.
Got those flaky teeth.
I'd have been bang on the Jesus juice.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He called his cum duck butter, didn't he?
duck butter.
Yeah, he was like, get the duck butter out.
Wow.
Yeah. He's been quite inventive with his names.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very romantic.
Do you remember Michael Jackson mystery drink?
No.
There was a drink, right? And it was like in a sort of Red Bull size can. And they used to sell it in like weird shops like Home Bargains and stuff. When I was like 12, you go in there and it was Michael Jackson mystery drink and he was on the front.
That's fucking disgusting.
And it was flavor mystery. You know?
Don't know
what it is. And you're drinking, you're like, I can't fucking tell what this is. It's like this duck butter flavor.
Yeah.
Duck butter, yeah.
But yeah. It was nice, though. I liked it.
Yeah.
Duck butter. Reverse
cowboy. What about people who battle other addictions as well? Oh, no, what about enough?
Well, there's plenty. Yeah,
I'm a gambler, right?
Right.
So
okay.
I'm dealing with that.
Yeah. Well, that's a tough one.
Is it?
Well, the gambling is a really tough one.
But
it's all the same.
You've never beaten it, but I've beaten it, so I completely understand. And that's why I'm kind of engrossed in it. How many things have I got to battle with? Really?
Well, this is it.
Four.
Well, this is it. So I only smoked when I drank, and I put down the booze and the drugs for 5 years. I didn't even have a paracetamol, but the fags, they came on full. And I'd be smashing every day
for about fucking 20 years.
Well, there we go. And it's, you know, you're doing something. It's like you put your finger on a hole in a pipe, and then the water comes out somewhere else. It's the pressure. So what it is stop saying that. Oh, that is the problem. That's the problem.
By the way, that he's pointing at his head. When you sorted that, was that through the 12 steps?
Yeah.
I never used. I did attend GA.
Yeah.
But I personally found that talking about it made me want to do it.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like sitting in a room of getting to talk. Basically, GA for me is showing off contests.
Yeah.
About who lost the most money.
Yeah, of course.
And you kind of leave there thinking, fucking hell, I wish I had that bet.
Gamblers Anonymous is one that fascinated me the most because what gamblers are addicted to is losing.
Yeah.
No.
There's an amazing scene in a film called Two for the Money. So it's an underrated film. It's Matthew McConaughey and Al Pacino.
Yeah.
So you should. It's an amazing film, but Al Pacino does a speech at a GA meeting. Specifically about gambling addiction. I thought you might have seen it the way you said that, but you are. You're addicted to nearly losing.
Yeah.
Nearly losing.
Well, if you imagine the chemical reaction that goes through your body when you lose, like the pain, the grief. But that is a hit of something. Right. It might not be a nice hit, but obviously they're addicted to winning as well, because that's also a hit. But it's to change the way you feel.
Yeah.
So the reason I drank was to change the way I felt, because the way where I was in my resting moment was I was restless, irritable and discontent. So I needed something to take me away from that.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like a muscle, like you know Wim Hof, everyone's sitting in the Wim Hof ice bath. That in a nutshell is what it is. The reason why Wim Hof works is because when you're sat in a bath of ice, you're in your trauma state, you want to change. You can sit in that bath of ice for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. It will help you in your normal life when you're sitting there thinking, I feel triggered, I'm thinking about that, I'm doing worried about that, I feel anxiety. That's what it is.
Right.
It's sitting in that place without acting out on it. And it's like a muscle. And do you know what? I go out now, I don't even see drink. And that's someone who loved the drink anymore.
That's so good.
It's invisible to me.
What do you think happens when you die, Kev?
I think when you die, I think that your soul, your energy goes into the atmosphere and is sort of gurgitated into some other form. Because that's what I think. It's energy. Well, have you ever seen a corpse?
I was with my nana when she died. We knew she was dying, but I was holding around like sat next to her. Yeah, and it's instant. Like you can see that like something goes.
It's not there anymore.
No, she wasn't there anymore. It was like a shell.
Yeah, it's like a vessel. It's a vessel for the energy.
Yeah, so I can believe that, but I don't necessarily know if it goes somewhere other than just into the atmosphere.
So
but
if do you I think, died in this room now, which is you know possible
yeah.
you know. You could inhale my energy.
So when your energy leaves you, when you die in a minute, like does it just dissipate into the atmosphere and like a little bit of it will go into a tree, a little bit will go into, or does Kev pop up again as like a flower?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
why don't you know?
Well, I should know, really. I reckon Brian Cox would know. But, I mean, I think that their energy just gets reformed into something else. That's what I think. But I don't have any fear of death at all now.
Yeah,
I'm half looking forward to it, to be honest.
Did you not?
I'm ready for the long sleep.
My mate died when I was about 12, and it was the first time.
Why did you kill him?
Well, it was mostly the panini stickers he kept on stealing.
Need, need, need.
Yeah. No, but he died, and I remember thinking, shit. we can die. It was a really like a big moment in my life. I just thought, fuck, you're just suddenly aware of mortality.
Reverse cowboy.
So what's next for Kev Bishop?
Well, do you know what? It's funny, really. Dating. I mean, I don't know what. I don't really know what's next. There's a massive crossroads in my life because my marriage of sort of 21 years is at an end. So I'm now into sort of new pastures, and it's not what I wanted at all. But like, I'm in that place it now happens. Where I'm like, shit. You know, 42, and I had my first date aged 42.
Wow.
And it was a fucking disaster.
Really?
One of the worst experiences of my life. And at that point, I thought, this is such a bad date that I'm just going to be a Jesuit monk and I'm not going to do it anymore.
Was that because like you were so like freaked out by it because you've been with your ex for so long? And or was it just because they were a cunt?
No, we were just completely incompatible, right. Me and this person. And I remember she brought me back to her flat and she said, don't open the doors or the windows because the cats will get out. Nah. And I was like, oh, right. And she went, these are flat cats. I went, oh, okay, they look like flat cats. And she went, just be careful, just don't open the door because if you open a window or a door, they'll get out onto the road and they'll die. And I said, what is this then? Meowschwitz? and she just looked at me and she just didn't sort of break a smile at all. And I just thought, this is a tough crowd.
Yeah, this
is going to be difficult. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And so I walked out of that date and I thought, well, this is shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this anymore. And it was and I actually just sort of wished I drank, actually. But then I thought, no, I'm going to persevere. And
good
subsequently,
man.
I've had loads of other dates and they've all been brilliant.
Yeah,
so,
I've got a lovely friend who would love to date you, actually.
Nice fella.
Lovely guy. No, my mate, she's very attractive and she's very lovely. But yeah, she's very funny. I think you two would get on.
Oh, great. Send her my way. I mean, I met my wife. I was 20 years old. I met her at a house party and that was it. I have no idea about this world of dating and how far it's moved on. But it's like literally ordering a fucking pizza now. And I always think, like, if there was a thing on that app where they could hear what people say when they're looking at your photograph, like, mine is literally like, no, fuck off. What? Fucking hell. No. I mean, can you imagine if they could hear the audio response?
Leo came up with this idea the other day where he said, like, an amazing, like, terrorist attack from, like, China would be if they just made everyone's private information, like, everything you've got on your phone, if they made it all public.
The minute the internet opens and it comes out on the telly, like I said to my man here, everyone would just scatter. It would take a few minutes. Everyone would make a few memes out of it first. And before you know it, like, the whole world, every family is just scattered to different corners of the rooms while they go through each other. Then you start hearing cars going up the road. Yeah. People's getting their shit.
OHE! Yeah. But in a way, it might be that quite sort of thing where it's like, look, no one's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, no one's perfect. Everyone does something that probably their partner wouldn't like.
Yes, I've got a 16-year-old girlfriend. You know, I'm not perfect.
One of the guys in the band, actually, he put me up against the wall once and he said, if you don't take those hands down, there's a good chance you'll never use them again.
Right, well, say goodbye now, but thanks so much for coming in, Kev. You're a legend.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much.
Let's go get some pussy, man. All right.
Watch Another Hood.
Some Other Hood. Some Other Hood.
Sorry.
But watch Another Hood, by all means, but watch Some Other Hood.
Don't watch that one. Watch the new one.
Reverse Cowboy.
Pretty, please like and subscribe. We love you, Shaggers. Kiss, kiss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's JUVEDERM.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.